Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
With the play of Alex Caruso in the playoffs for the OKC Thunders, reinvigorated a lot of conversations about the Josh Giddey, Alex Caruso trade. On today's episode, I want to talk about why both teams got exactly what they wanted and needed out of that trade and why it's okay. We can talk about that, plus dive into the mailbag, all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Derek Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And I want to start off with this, man. You know, sometimes some things about Bulls fans really just grind my... And, you know, it's not just Bulls fans. That's unfair. It's really sports fans in general. Like, Brian Windhorst, you know, all those guys that continually bring this up. Like, the Alex Caruso-Josh Giddey trade, both teams got exactly what they wanted out of that trade. And that's perfectly fine, right? Yes, Alex Caruso is on a team that has championship aspirations and is playing really good. They just swept Memphis Grizzlies, and shout out to them. Hopefully they do. I love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right? He's one of my favorite players to watch in this league, and I hope that they do win a title this season. But every time Alex Caruso does something good, it doesn't somehow make the trade worse for the Chicago Bulls. I think the one thing, right, outside of just looking at both teams getting exactly what they wanted out of that trade, the one thing you also need to look at it as is that it's really kind of simple, right? Alex Caruso was not going to stay here with it. That extension he signed with the OKC Thunder, he wasn't going to sign that here. Would it have made people feel better if they waited to trade him at the trade deadline this year? Like, I don't know what people aren't getting in regards to that. Like, the whole thing of the Bulls should have gotten one of the picks that the OKC Thunder had. Okay, cool. You know, like, that's cool. Like, no, I don't think many people are going to say, hey, the Bulls should have gotten or tried to get a pick here. But I think when you look at it, the both teams got exactly what they wanted, and that's okay. Right, Josh Giddey didn't really fit in with that team because he wasn't able to play as the point guard and be as ball dominant because you have Jalen Williams there, you have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander there, and not. And they were and the Thunder needed a veteran player to come in and that could fit in a little bit more seamless in the defense that Alex Caruso brings to a team that already has tremendous defense, has been tremendous, right? The Bulls were a team that were going younger. We're moving off DeMar DeRozan, we're moving off Andre Drummond. They were eventually going to trade Zach LaVine, and they picked the direction of going younger. What the Bulls got in that is a young player in Josh Giddey that has tremendous upside and that towards the end of the season showed a bit of that upside. And then, yeah, of course, you got to pay him now. And that was the one downside on that is that you basically had one season of data to gather on him before you had to turn around and pay him a large-scale deal. And we'll see how that shakes out for the Bulls here. But let's be clear. Like, the Bulls got a 22-year-old player that is already in what I think the top five of triple doubles in Chicago Bulls history. Like, let's just think about that, right? Like, is Josh Giddey a perfect player? No. Is he a flawed player? Yeah. Guess what? Alex Caruso, despite what Bulls fans now would try to have you believe, is a very flawed player as well, on top of the injury concerns, right? But again, you don't have to make one player seem bad to talk about another player in pot. And that's really what a lot of this argument comes down to, is that people don't know how to have layered conversations anymore. I've said it before. We live in such a take culture world that you have to have a take, right? Like, you have to have this hardline take, and you can't just have an actual conversation about it. There's a lot of layers that go into this on why it worked out for both teams, right? It's worked out for both teams. And, you know, it's up to the Bulls to continue to build a team that's together. You know, the one thing I don't like either is when people try to look at every move, and I love Steve-O. Steve-O does this sometimes, too, where it's like, if you make a move and then it doesn't result in, like, the team winning a title, it's like, oh, well, then it wasn't the right move. That's not, like, it's so much that goes into building an organization that one move, you can't say that one move was the right move or a wrong move or a good move or a bad move just because of the results of the team overall, right? Because there's a lot of different moving parts. Again, the layered conversation part of that has to happen there, right? That's a part of all of that. And so it just, you know, seeing it, and I hate that people feel like, and again, like I said, this is more towards Brian Windhorst. This isn't even towards no Bulls fans or anything like that. But like I've said it before, how you have so many really kind of now that people that do this professionally that really aim for the social media clip. And it's like every time Brian Windhorst and Tim Legler and all these guys talk about this trade, Tim Bontemps is the one that I'm talking about. Bontemps, like every time they talk about the trade, they try to make it seem like, well, the Bulls got nothing out of it. Like, that's stupid at this point in time, right? Now, you can have a conversation, say, but damn, it would have been nice if we got a first, protected first, a couple of seconds as well as with Josh Giddey. Yeah, that would have been nice, right? That would have been nice. Nobody can doubt that. But this conversation where it feels like you got to knock one and talk good about the other, I hate to tell y'all, like, you can make a trade and both players actually have good seasons and it can be able to say, oh, they both had solid seasons with their new team. So it's perfectly fine to say that. Like, let's not act like Alex Caruso didn't have a stretch with the OKC Thunder where he couldn't hit shit, and it was at a time where they actually needed his offense. Now, he brought some defense. Absolutely. Make no mistake about that. But, like, again, it's not about that. That is the ebbs and flows of a season. You aren't. And people do that with Kobe, too, right? I guess this is turning into my TED Talk. People do that with Kobe, too, where they're just like, oh, well, there was games where Kobe scored 11 points. Every player goes through that. Every single player in the league goes through a point where they may score 12, they may score 15 points instead of the 25 or whatever else that they average on the season. It doesn't all of a sudden mean that that's not the inconsistent part of it, right? People have taken now a conversation around Kobe being inconsistent and try to use normal basketball things to point to inconsistency. That's not what we talk about if you're having an intelligent conversation about Kobe White's inconsistencies. It's not just about that, right? Again, layered conversations that people are so missing and being able to have now because they're so focused on takes. And it's just it's ridiculous, to be 100% honest with you. To go over this, to go back to the overarching point before I get too sidetracked on just how people just, again, I know I always go to this, people really do lack simple comprehension. And listen, some of the people I love the most do that, right? Winton did it in the comment section yesterday. You know, I love Winton Mahorn, but like somebody brought up, well, if Modest brings up or gets a max level extension, and Winton Mahorn's comment was, it's crazy we're talking about Modest already getting a max level extension. Like, that's not the layer of the and Winton did it before as well. I remember one time I said, oh, well, you know, if the Bulls were able to, you know, if the Bulls ever even gave, and said, notice I said even gave Kobe, Io, and Giddey all $30 million, we would still have $60 million in cap space in 26. And Winton was like, Why would Io ever get 30 million? It's like, that's like sometimes people are so reactive to things that they don't really listen to what's actually said, and they're responding more towards how they took something versus what was actually said, right? And it's like, you got to chill. Like, as people, like, the sports conversation is great, and as we are in a place where we're more connected than ever to talk about these teams every single day with people that will never meet face-to-face, people from Australia, people from other countries in Europe and Italy that are all Bulls fans, and we have this interconnected platform that keeps all of us connected to be able to talk to and support our teams. Like, it's made the like I said, the layered part of the conversation be completely missed. And it's like it's okay. Like, it's okay. Both teams got what they wanted. That's it. Both teams got what they wanted. Now, I know, and I've always said myself, you always judge a trade or whatever three times, right? Initially, how you feel about it, about a year afterwards, and then 3 to 5 years down the road to see how everything shakes out. And that's just human nature. We're always going to look at trades and try to figure out who did what and what got better out of it overall. But, like, it's just this thing, like, Alex Caruso's playing great in the playoffs for the Thunder. That's why they got him. That's why they needed him there. That's all. They got exactly what they want and needed. The Bulls were a team that it wasn't about necessarily winning right away. It was about getting younger, bringing players that have upside, trying to find the guys that could develop and whatever on this team. And they got that in Josh Giddey. Now we got to see how much of it is going to be firm in there, how much of it is going to be what Josh Giddey actually is going to be in the future for the Bulls. Josh Giddey said, the player after the All-Star break is more like him. I love that he said that and put that on wax, because now that gives us something that now we can hold you to that, right? And best believe, Chicago fans are going to hold you to that, because, listen, first 15, they might not even give you that. Now, Bulls fans can be really knee-jerky, right? First 15 games of the season, you don't look like that player. We're going to be questioning again, like, all right, you Giddey, hey, you said you were that player after the All-Star break. You got to show us that, right? And that's fair. I love when players put things on wax, because, again, now it's not some crazy a standard that we're holding them to. I love being able to hold players to the standard that they've set for themselves. That's why one thing with Kobe, every time I talked about Kobe's inconsistency, I went back to him saying, hey, I need to work on being a more consistent player, right? I need to work on that. Because now it's not just me in a silo just holding him something that I've noticed as a fan. That's cool too. But it's also holding him something that he said he noticed himself and he wanted to work on. And that's really what I love to be able to do with players. If you notice that, anytime I talk about a player, I always like to go back to something they said about their game. Even with P. Will, right? P. Will in the offseason talked about wanting to be a leader for this team, wanting to be all that, right? Step up and you know, into a bigger role with DeMar and those guys gone. And he didn't do that, right? So I love being able to hold that. And it's not to, like, be a pet. I know Petty Roosevelt, that's not even to be a petty thing. Like, to me, as somebody who's been in management since I was 19 years old, right? Like, it's something different when you can hold people accountable to what they want for themselves, right? Because then it's not some arbitrary thing that you're putting on them. Hell, they noticed it, right? First, it's good that they have that recognition, that they recognize it themselves. Then second, then on top of that, it now gives you something to say, hey, this is what you wanted for yourself and you're not living up to it. So fuck what anybody else wants. It should bother you that you're not living up to what you want for yourself, right? And let's hope that that's what happens with these players and overall with the Chicago Bulls. Listen, I know that was ranty. I apologize. Let's get back. Every once in a while, I go on rants here because some of y'all just be tripping, man. But you know, it comes with the territory. It's one thing that I had to accept with having this job, so it is what it is. But before we get into the mailbag, I do want to mention this, right? I'm going to put in the description today the link to Chicago Cubs Central. Many of you guys may know, unfortunately, the Chicago Cubs Central original page that was up to, I think, 2,000 subscribers, we lost it, unfortunately, due to Crazy Gate. And so we want to help Mike build up the new channel. So there's going to be a link. I may even make it the pinned comment on this video. Go and subscribe. If you're a Cubs fan, go and subscribe to Mike over at Chicago Cubs Central. Really good daily. He puts in the work and all of that. And it really sucks that he lost that channel, but we're going to build it back up even better than what it was before. Go and subscribe to Chicago Cubs Central. We will be doing a giveaway. And to do that giveaway, you have to be subscribed to both channels. We'll give away Cubs hat. We'll give away Bulls hat. But to do that, you have to be subscribed to both channels. So there you guys go on that one. All right, let's get into the voicemails for today, man. This first one, this one's from Bishop.
What's going on, Hayes? It's your boy Bishop from the Walton family. Long time listener, first time caller. I'm calling in because I've been doing my due diligence this with the draft, you know, coming around. I know I'm probably stepping ahead because I know you ain't in your draft bag yet. But I've been looking at this guy, Danny Wolf, hey. Danny Wolf. I don't know if my ass deceiving me, hey. But he looks like he could be one of them guys, hey. But I need your analysis. I want you to let me know what you think about Danny Wolf, hey.
I like Danny Wolf. I think Danny Wolf is a really good option. I think that, you know, he's a solid player, Bishop. But the thing is that it depends on where the Bulls pick and who else is on the board. Bishop is a player that, much like Zach Collins, I think could fit in. He brings a lot of what we want offensively. And he brings a little bit of the shot blocking, too. He averaged 1.1 blocks for his college career. But he's not really kind of the athletic guy that I really ideally would think would be better. And he's not really the defender that I think would ideally be better with Kobe and Josh Giddey and things like that. But I will say this. If the Bulls pick 12th and Sorber and Derek Queen and Kamon Malowak and Ace Newell, those guys are off the board. We'll see what Danny Wolf. Now, there are some mocks as well that have Danny Wolf slated to go in the second round. I do think that when the combine comes around, he's going to be one of those guys that rises up. Like, people may remember around this time, it may have been a little bit earlier, like before the tournament, like people were saying Zach Edey would be a second round pick. Now, I still think the Memphis Grizzlies may have picked him a little bit too early, but I think he would have gone in the lottery either way with how his combine went. Danny Wolf's going to be one of those guys that rises up in the combine. I don't know how much, but we'll end up seeing, again, depending on who else is on the board, I wouldn't be mad at Danny Wolf. I just think Danny Wolf is kind of more of a younger version of some of what we already have here. But, hey, we do need a center, and we'll see what happens there. But Danny Wolf, as a prospect, I like him. I just have guys above my on my board well above him, if that makes sense. But, all right, let's get into this next one, man. This one is from Vikram.
Yo, what up, Hayes? It's Vikram. Just a quick thought, a question for you. I've seen, like, I've been watching this Magic game, and I was thinking about, like, oh, they really need someone who can stretch the floor, create some offense. Obviously, Kobe White comes to mind. Io would come to mind for, like, a trade. But that also had me thinking, you mentioned how some teams that are picking in the draft may prioritize, like, winning now and stuff. And I don't know. If AK, he said he did want to be patient, but if he were to maybe trade up in the draft, I don't see it happening, but maybe. What do you think? Like a team?
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers. But that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Like the Sixers would take for like the fifth pick. Do you think like someone like Io would get it done for the fifth pick? I don't know if it's too rich to get the fifth pick for Io, but something like that. I don't know. What do you think the avenues are to like trade up in the draft, get some more draft capital? I don't see it happening, but you know, maybe it does. What way do you think could come about? Let me know.
Let's wait on potential draft moves until we see how the board falls out, right? Like, I think it's way too early to be talking about who can we trade up, who can we trade down to, because we don't really know where everybody's going to be picking yet. It could be a team that makes a leapfrog in the lottery, right? And when I said the thing a couple episodes ago about there could be teams that could value more kind of proven talent than in the draft if their guy comes off the board, I meant lower in the draft. I mean, like, teams that were, you know, play-in teams or playoff teams that had an early exit that maybe pick anywhere between 18 and 22, something like that, that those teams could look and value more getting a proven commodity back than taking another prospect to add to what they're trying to do in their trajectory. So I think there's some of that that could be around, but we won't really know that until we see how the draft board falls out. So, you know, hold off on that. Great question, but hold off on that question and try to remember to ask it again after the draft lottery, which is, what, in 3 weeks, I think, basically. So hold on to that question for 3 weeks after the draft lottery. We'll get some time to kind of process that. Call back in with that same question. I'll probably have a more detailed answer on that for you because then we'll see how that draft board kind of shakes out, right? I think that's going to be an important part of this is knowing where people are picking. It'd be an even better question to ask after the combine, after we've kind of seen how teams have had their workouts and things like that and where things could be going. But great question. Just, I think, a little bit too early there, Vikram, but I understand why you're asking it. And we'll see. We'll see where it shakes out. All right, let's get into this next one, man. This one's from George.
George from Florida. Love your show, man. Respect your takes. Let's be honest. The Bulls got finessed by the Spurs. The NBA is getting finessed by the Spurs with the tanking and all their draft picks, right? But the next thing, how can we get the Trailblazers pick back? Like, how can we either trade something up this year to get that back or trade something for next year and have that conveyed as soon as possible? Because all we do is get, you know, finessed by both teams. So we need to, you know, get on the ball here.
All right, so the Blazers pick, and I love that. I'm going to get into the Spurs one in detail because you said the Spurs finessed us. I think when you go back and look at that, I actually think we got a lot better out of it with how it all went out, but I'll talk about that more in a minute, right? The Blazers pick is lottery protected, meaning that we only get that pick if they make the playoffs. Not the play-in, they have to make the playoffs, and the Blazers have really no incentive to try to convey that pick earlier for the Bulls because they don't look like they're going to be a playoff team, right? I said once before, and that was when they still had Dame, that they could remove the protection from the pick or just say, hey, basically, Bulls, you get that pick this year if you agree to it. And the reason why I said that then is because we have that that pick protected until 2028, which basically means they can't move their own first-round picks to acquire anything else until 2028. Now, that was when they had Dame, and they could have been use those picks to add something to that team. I think now with how young that they are, they're going to be in a place where they're just going to be fine going through the development naturally. So I don't really think there's much that we can do to try to force them to give us that pick because, again, the protections on it, if they make the playoffs, then we get the pick. And until they feel like they're really a playoff team, they're going to want to keep those first-round picks outright. So they have really no incentive to give it to the Bulls. Now, you said that the Bulls got finessed by the Spurs. I want to go back and look at this trade real quick, right? The DeMar DeRozan trade. So we got DeMar DeRozan, who, keep in mind, for the 3 years we had him here, was one of the best clutch players in the NBA, broke Wilt records, right? Had some of the best clutch performances we've seen, period, in Chicago Bulls history. And in that trade, we gave up Thad Young, Al-Farouq Aminu, and a protected first-round pick and 2 second-round picks. We got that first-round pick back. And even if you add in the fact that they got Harrison Barnes in that three-team trade that ended up sending DeMar DeRozan to the Kings, so they end up getting in that trade Thad Young, Al-Farouq Aminu, 2 second-round picks, and Harrison Barnes. I don't think we got finessed in that. With the way that it all worked out, I don't think we got finessed by the Spurs in that. I just don't think we do. Now that the Bulls have all the first-round picks, I don't know how the Spurs finessed us. Now, had they kept that pick, then that would be different, right? But because, like, look at it this way. If we didn't make that trade, the Spurs would have got a top 12 pick this year for a player in DeMar DeRozan that's off the roster at this point. They didn't get that. So I don't really know if I could say that I feel that we got finessed by the Spurs. I don't think we did. I just don't think we did. But you guys can sound off. Let me know how you feel on that down below. All right, let's get into this next one, man. This one is from Shay.
What's up, Hayes? This is Shay. Look, man, I know that this may sound a little crazy, but if Thomas Sarver is still available when we pick, I would pick him due to the fact that, hey, we looking for much younger talent at 9, and him at 19, and he's already 255 pounds. Doesn't probably need to put like about 5 extra pounds on. Now look, 6'10", that may be a little bit of a problem, but hey, Vooch is 6'10", and the Cleveland Cavaliers have a center that is about 6'9 or 6'10". And he's doing pretty good. And when you look at it, you don't really need him to do much. And he can shoot a little bit. I feel like he could fit much more quicker and much more better than a guy like maybe a Derrick Queen. Now, I like Derrick Queen, but when you look at like raw potentials, it's always that one person in the draft that you least expected where he ends up surprising you. That's why Nikola Jokic, nobody expected him to be better than Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins, but hey, he is, you know what I'm saying? And both of them were picked way before him. Now, I'm not comparing this guy to Nikola Jokic. I'm not doing that, but that was a bad comparison. But I'm going to say this. Judging by what the Bulls need right now and what they could build with in the future, I feel like this guy could be a big part of our piece. Now, don't kill me for the Nikola Jokic comparisons. Hayes, I know you're gonna do it, you ginger beer motherfucker. Don't do it. But what I'm saying is, I feel like he could be a good piece, especially what he brings with the shot blocking. Now, maybe he may not be a super great rebounder. I don't know. for sure, but Josh Giddey gets a lot of rebounds already, but then he could just be a good, decent rebounder, not necessarily a Andre Drummond type of rebounder, but I feel like that he could help us a lot more quicker and adjust a lot more faster than to what we need him to do. And hey, who knows? I mean, maybe he might be our star if we trade Vooch. But I really am high on Thomas Sarver. I can't say his last name. Sarver, he's a center. But I really am high on him as a center prospect. Anyway, tell me what you think. Peace.
Thomas Sarver, you're the second person in consecutive mailbacks asked about. Sarver would be a really good pick. Yeah, he's 6'10", but he has the 7'5 wingspan, right? The big body, the legit NBA body right away. The defensive upside, he's really trending well also as a rim-protecting big as well. He doesn't bring the switchability that I would like next. Like you know, part of the reason I like Asa Newell so much is because Asa has that ability where he can switch on guard sometimes. Thomas Sarver doesn't necessarily have that, but then again, yeah, that's not stopping him from being a defensive presence. Sarver can absolutely be a defensive presence, and he has tremendous offensive upside as well, right? Averaging 2 blocks per game, like that's rim protection. That's actual rim protection, right? And so, you know, while he isn't a threat to stretch the ball out to the three-point line, I don't think that's always required from every center. I do think you need a solid 12 to 15-foot jumper at times, right? And I think he can develop that. I think his mechanics are solid when it comes to that as well. I like Thomas Sarver more and more, but much like I said with the guy who asked about, with Bishop who asked about Danny Wolfe, is that I think Thomas Sarver is a guy that really could rise a lot in the draft combine, and he can go from being anywhere, because right now it's slated by a lot of mocks to go between like 8 and 12. I think he can flirt with being a top 5, top 6 pick, depending on how the draft board shapes out and how his combine goes. But I would love Thomas Sarver on this Bulls team for sure. All right, let's get into this next one, man. This last one, this one's from Reginald.
Hey, this is Reginald calling again. Just after listening to you about the stuff, Josh Giddey and a couple of other things. But, yeah, I think the Brooklyn Nets are a team that would be in the money to get Josh Giddey. They do have the money. But I don't think they're going to offer him like $40 or $45 million to get him. Simply because that would put them in almost the same position they were in when they had Kevin Durant, Harden, and Irving, where they put all their money in on a couple of players, and they had nothing to fill it out with. I mean, sure, they had draft picks, but that's a 3-year. But I don't think the Nets are going to offer getting $45 million. I do believe that a cheaper option would probably be Trey Jones. I think he would fit just as well in the scheme of what the Nets were doing. But, you know, if the Nets offer him $40 or $45 million, I'd tell the Bulls to let him walk. Simply because if you offer him that, you're definitely trading Kobe or you're trading Io. And even though Kobe puts a better stats than Io, I think Io is more of a fit for whatever the Bulls are trying to do, being a two-way player, being more consistent than Kobe. So unless the Bulls have already made a decision to trade Kobe, I don't think the Bulls are off for getting 45. I think they should max out at anywhere between 30 and 35 million. And if making another bad deal is the difference between, you know, if keeping Giddey, I mean, giving him $45 million, I let him walk. I know y'all said that you'll probably get him fired, but that's on him for making so many questionable decisions. I'll say questionable. But yeah. The best thing I think the Bulls should do, I don't think he was going to offer to trade any assets for Carter, even a second-round pick. I think the Bulls should just buy him out if no one makes an offer for him after the free agency. I think they should move off of Vooch, probably move him to Dallas for Marshall and Gafford. And as a Lonzo Ball, trade him to Minnesota for a TSJ or trade him to Charlotte for a second round pick. You know, make space for Trey Jones and sign Giddey to a front loaded contract. But what do you think about that? Thanks.
Where the hell did $45 million come from? Hey, they don't have 45. Reginald, where did you get $45 million from? They're not like, I don't think anybody's going to offer Josh Giddey. Where did you get $45 million? Like, where did that number come from? I would really love to know, through the conversations that we've had, where did you pull out that the Nets are going to offer Josh Giddey $40+ million? Where did you get that? Where did that come from? Did you practice that number? Like, what? And I'm having fun with Reginald, but where did that number come from, Reggie? What? $45 million? Wow. Nonetheless, right? I mean, here's the thing. I know you said that it puts the Nets back when they had KD. Here's the thing. They have Nick Claxton. They have a big, right? The biggest things that, especially if they re-sign Cam Thomas, the things that they're looking for is a wing and a point guard. Now, I do think that Trey Jones could offer a more cost-effective option for them, absolutely. But let's make no mistake about it. Trey Jones is not the triple-double machine that Josh Giddey could be, which is why they could pivot there. So it really depends. And I definitely think if they get a top four pick in this lottery, which seems like it have a good chance of getting, that could be more reason why they are willing to pay big money for a 22-year-old player. Because at that point, all their young players are locked into basically rookie scale deals, and they have a really good, like, hell, if they win the lottery, they could definitely throw out a big offer there. So, you know, we'll see what ultimately happens when it comes down to that. As far as buying out Javon Carter and things, the Bulls don't do that. I don't expect the Bulls to do that. If they buy out Javon Carter, it won't be to after the All-Star break, in my personal opinion. I mean, if they surprise us, great. I just don't expect it, right? And we'll see what happens with the Vooch trade. But 40, where'd you get that number from? Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.